Welcome to Glazed Over,
a podcast for business tips, painting tricks, and gabbing with friends.
We're your hosts, Amy Williams
and Christine Steele, and we're so glad you're here.
Hey, Christine.
Hi, Amy. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm really excited for this episode, the clash of accents we're going to be happening. I feel like a dialect coach is going to use this episode as a primary source between me and Robert. And honestly, you've got a little bit of an accent. It's going to be a wild one.
I agree. I can't. I think we should actually have people guess where we're all from at this point. If you're just jumping in, we have to, just by the accents alone, guess where we're from.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think they're going to get Robert's immediately.
Yeah, I'm really excited. On that note, I'm so excited to welcome Robert to the podcast. Do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are?
Oh, am I on camera now?
Oh, yeah, babe.
Welcome.
You look fantastic.
Oh, here I am. Well, I'm Robert. I'm the sculptor at Gehr Incorporated. I've been here a long time.
How
38
long?
38 years.
Ooh. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Hey, don't do the math. I'm watching it. I'm like, that's a lifetime. That is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do the math, actually. That's very cool. So what, as the sculptor, give me like a little rundown of what your day looks like normally.
Well, most of the day I'm making little models out of clay. Some are small, 3 inches, and some are up to 18 to 20 inches.
Wow.
In height. Everything's based on what's selling, and we have to have our little price points because, you know, if not everybody wants a 2 foot high vase. So, so I'm mostly making models, but my day's broken up. I do make the molds of the models I make. I also make the rubber. I also cast the greenware for the, Tammy to decorate and Jamie to photograph and all that stuff. So that's
nice.
I jump around. I skip around during the day.
Yeah.
Not literally skip around.
Oh, I don't believe that.
No,
not for a minute.
I like that visual.
And anyway. So you've been there for 38 years. Did you start as the sculptor?
Well, before the 38 years started, I was worked with the ceramic engineer, Jay Deven. I was a high school job. It was part-time, 4 hours a day. The bus would stop at the train tracks here at Gehr because they have to, and the bus driver was nice enough just to let me off all the time. So I could get the bus from high school to here, and I'd work here. Then my father was a sculptor at the time. My father's been working here since 1972.
Wow. That's
and
amazing.
He retired in about 2006, I believe it was. And so I used to work for Jay Deven. And I used to, it was like being in a bakery. He'd give me a list of formulas, and I'd make up the little formulas and test them for him and fire them, and that was it. And then a couple of years doing that, my father approached Tom Alemo, the owner at the time, and said, he's still the owner, and said, I'd like to bring Robert in as an apprentice with me. So I apprenticed with my dad for 5 to 8 years.
Wow.
And that started back in 1986.
Has the style kind of always looked like that? I got into PYOP in 2008, so I'm not super familiar with kind of like anything before, but like to me, Gehr has a very specific style. Has it always been like that? Like, is that your dad's doing, or has it evolved a little bit?
It's evolved a little bit. My dad was very good at figurines and faces, and he could do some very fine china-like figurines because my father used to work for Royal Doulton and Royal Worcester and Wedgwoods, and that's what he used to do, figurines and dinnerware. So when he came here, it was a little more on the cutesy side. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So we just went full force into all of that. And he had his look. I have my own look. And we do whatever the customers want.
So for just a reference, is there a certain one that your father's created that we could look up? I'm looking right now on the website. Was there – I want to see just the, if there is a difference, because I agree with Amy, there's definitely a look for Gare, and I would love to see the difference between what you sculpted and what your father has.
So my father's the fairies, the fairies that we have. One of the mermaids is his.
Okay.
There isn't much left of what, because he's been retired now for almost 20 years.
Yeah, wow.
So over those years, his things have slowly been discontinued. Mm. I'd have to go through our website and see exactly what his, but his style was those fairies, if you look at the fairies we sell.
I'm like I said, I'm looking right now, and I can probably guess that maybe just the difference of the two, they're just very similar, but there's like a little bit of a difference. Maybe the 7313 that turned into like the mermaid biggie bank, is that yours, or is that
that's mine? Yeah.
Oh yes. No, I was trying to guess. That was my
That's what do you, so I have only dabbled a bit in the bisque designing world, and because I think I have done under, 50 or whatever, I do get a little attached to the shapes. Like, do you feel bad when things, when designs of yours get discontinued, or are you just like, ah, whatever?
Most of the time, I don't even know they've been discontinued. we get a discontinuation list once a year, and it's, I quickly look at it, and that's not my thing.
Yeah.
But I understand why they do it.
Sure.
The warehouse only has so much room.
That's
true. We can't keep adding stuff to it. We have to take some away. So.
Yeah, and it's smart to stay up on stuff like that. You can't do the same thing forever, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
How do you know how your dad got into this?
He wasn't very good in school.
Mm.
So in England, they have a different system. Not everybody goes through like high school. And his teacher in his elementary school teacher sort of guy said, Mr. Gary, you need to go into something else. So they sent him off to an art school. And he went to the art school for several years, and then he went as an apprentice working with Royal Doulton. And he tells these funny stories about Royal Doulton. He says when he was an apprentice there, he spent the first several months just getting cups of tea for his boss and not doing much of anything. And I think he was only maybe 16 at the time, 17 at the time. And his mother found out what was going on, and his mother went to Royal Doulton and talked to his boss's boss and complained and said, my son's not here just to fetch and carry cups of tea. And finally they got him... he got going.
That's amazing.
Did that. Then he went to work for Royal Worcester next. And he went to work in Jamaica for Royal Worcester.
Oh.
It was called Island. The company was called Island Worcester. And they were there for about 4 or 5 years. That's where my parents got married. And they lived there for about 4 or 5 years. Then they moved to Ireland. My father worked for the Irish government in Kilkenny. That's where I was born, in Kilkenny. And I was actually born in a stable.
Shut up. Sometimes I can't tell if you're joking or not.
No. It was a stable at one time.
Oh.
Okay, so the government set up this design area, the workshops. It was called Kilkenny Design Workshops. And they brought in silversmiths, blacksmiths, glassmakers, potters, candle makers, and they brought them all into this one area, and it was all based in the stables behind Kilkenny Castle.
Mm.
Now, all the ground floor was where all the studios were, and my father got to meet a lot of people with lots of other wood carvers, basket makers, and they were allowed to live in subsidized housing above that on the second floor of the stables. And there were like apartments all set up in those, and that's where I was born. I was born in the apartment above the stables. And
I'm learning so much.
I was a breech. I was born at home, and I was a breech. And I came out blank backwards.
Uh-huh.
And continue to go through life blank backwards.
Well, I think you're doing a pretty good job.
I'm enjoying it.
Wow. So when did your parents come over here then?
Back in 1972. My father wanted to travel, and he'd been to Jamaica. He grew up in England, been to Jamaica, lived in Ireland for a while, lived on a small island in the Irish Sea where my mother's family comes from, called the Isle of Man.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to have a small pottery business there, but it didn't really work out. Then he went to work for Wedgwood's in England, and he saw the original owner of this company knew where to find sculptors. And he would advertise in the English newspapers in Stoke-on-Trent. And that's when my father saw the ad, and he replied to the ad. And next thing you know, the owner paid for him to come over here to Haverhill, Massachusetts, took him around, showed him the company, took him around, showed him, these are schools, this is the place and neighborhood you'd probably be living in. And him and my mother talked about it, and they decided to move. So we all moved over here. Me and my two brothers. I was six at the time. And I have an older brother and a younger brother, and we moved here. I thought we were coming to Africa. America.
Oh, sure. A little but different. Less zebras, maybe.
Yes, less elephants.
Wow. So we've learned everything from Dad, essentially. I mean, you're apprentice under him. He taught you everything he knows. And you took over officially, I guess, when he retired in 2006.
Yeah.
How is it different now than it was in kind of 2006 when you took over?
Well, I don't get hit with big lumps of clay. Every now and again, my father would just lump a big piece of clay at me.
Of course. That's love, Robert.
Yeah. And we would have our moments. We would argue. Much to the disdain of Mary Ann and Debbie Grimard, who was the artist at the time. It's like, they're getting into an argument now. the first 6-7 years after he retired, he would stop in, see what's going on, get a cup of coffee. But now I'm on my own, and every now and again I have to go deep into my knowledge of what he told me and said, okay, that's what I need to do it that way.
Yeah, that's sweet. So can you give us a little bit of an insight into the process of like what it takes to, like we've ended with a shape here, you know, whether it's the mermaid bank or a bowl or whatever, like can you kind of walk us through what that process looks like?
So from the very beginning,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have design meetings here at work. They include David and Susan and the artist Tammy and Jamie and myself. And Tammy's daughter Charlotte is the marketing assistant. She's in those meetings too. Everybody has to bring their top five ideas. And depending on the time of year, we have we want to focus on holiday, like Christmas or Thanksgiving for this meeting. In fact, we have a meeting later on. We have a meeting tomorrow, and we're focusing on next spring. So that's how far ahead we have to work in that far ahead. So we have this design meeting. Everybody brings their top five ideas, put them all on the board, and then we go through them. And everybody brings examples because pictures are worth 1,000 words. And somebody might say, oh, yeah, I want to do a giraffe and this and then. But the opposite side of the room says they have a totally different idea of what they meant by that. So everybody brings pictures. We look online. We look on the gift industry. We go to the Atlantic Gift Show every year.
Mm-hmm.
We see what the competition's doing. We see what the toy industry's doing, the movie industry. And we go through that. And then by the end of the meeting, we have about a dozen to two dozen items for me to work on. And if it's seasonal, I'll work on the seasonal ones first because they're our biggest sellers usually. And I'll get those done and out of the way. So I'll start off making a model and depending on the piece, some models take 3 days, some models take 7 days, 2 weeks, depending on the piece. Wow. Usually the more simple things that take longer.
Oh.
I think you've been here, you've heard the story of the crinkle cup, right?
I would love for you to retell the story.
Okay, I have not heard this.
Decided to come out with a crinkle cup, which looked like a red solo, like a solo cup. And who was a country singer who made that really big?
Toby Keith.
He passed away.
We
didn't plan on that. It just happened to coincide with when we were going to release it. And anyway, that crinkle cup, I went and got a plastic solo cup and gently squeezed it and looked at it and made my model based on that. And if you ever squeeze a plastic cup, the rim bends in slightly. It'll bend down on the side. I did that. We don't want that. There's too much of crinkles in it. There's not enough crinkles in it. Back and forth for 2 weeks.
Oof.
You know? But I can knock out a cute little animal thing in 4 days.
Sure.
And everybody loves it.
That's funny. That's a good point. It's like the longer you have to look at something, like I think if you stare at a fork for too long, you're like, what is this? Like, how did we get here? So I can see that happening with the crinkle cup.
Yeah. But it's fun. All part of the process. You know, we have to have thick skin because I'll get the model. I'll be working on the model and sometimes David or Tammy will come over or Jamie and they'll say something and I might take their suggestion, I might not, depending mm-hmm. what I think. And mm-hmm. when the models are done, usually by the time when I have 3 or 4 models done, we'll have a meeting. They'll all come down and look at them. And 80% of the time, everything's fine. But sometimes, you know, I have to go back and change something or, sure. you know, tweak it this way, tweak it that way. And when I first started doing this, it used to bother me. Mm-hmm. But now I'm just, okay. And sometimes, when you have 5 or 6 people looking at one thing, you can tell they're not quite sure what's wrong with it, but they want to change. They want to change it somehow. And my line is, all right, let me see what I can do,
and sure.
come back then. So, and usually that works.
Now, for somebody that has never sculpted anything in their entire life, personally, can you break down even simpler? What that means. I mean, if pretend somebody's never touched a hunk of clay to make something, can you get into a little bit more detail of like carving out? I mean, I don't want to get into because I just said I don't know anything about sculpting, but can you give, because, you know, I don't want to be like, okay, well, maybe a little bit. But I mean, if you're talking to a toddler right now, how would you explain sculpting one of your models?
A toddler.
Play-Doh now.
Play-Doh. Well, my father used to say, don't be scared of it. It's just a piece of clay. Okay, mm-hmm. That's the first thing you have to remember. It's clay. It's not marble. If you hit it wrong and if something pops off with clay, you just stick it back on again. So don't let it get to you. It's like anything else. You start out with a rough idea of what you want it to look like, and then you make that rough idea. And nice thing about, I use earthenware clay. It's nice, fine clay. Nice thing about that is as you work on it, it's slowly drying and it's slowly getting harder. And you can, so you rough it out the general shape and then you start refining it a little bit at a time. And the longer you go, the firmer it gets, the more detail you can put into it. But if you need to, you can always wet it down again and move things around and start again. Or just throw it back in the bag and call it a day.
Yeah, I guess something that I am realizing that I maybe knew in the back of my mind or maybe didn't, like maybe I'm the toddler here, but you're not necessarily building this piece as if you're going to immediately put it in the kiln, right? Like it can be solid. It doesn't have to have the – okay, perfect. Yeah, I don't think I always really recognize that because from the sculpture you're making, then you cast it, right? And then that's – how we're getting all our things.
Yeah.
Smart right, and pretty. Good.
Yes. Yeah. So, but when we're done with the model, I make a mold of it. And the molding process usually damages it. You know, because when you take the plastic mold apart, the model gets damaged. Mm-hmm. And the clay just gets recycled. It gets put back into a bag with water. And That's it.
New life.
That would be the hardest part for me.
Just tossing it back in the bag.
Yeah, especially you said that you took for the crinkle cut 2 weeks and then you make a mold out of it and all of a sudden you're like, there it goes. And that would be the moment where I was like, we're done.
And we're done. Yeah.
But I have the mold now, so I can make lots of them. But actually you can put liquid in.
Sure. That's amazing. Yeah, I would have many meltdowns, I think, just in the room over hunks of clay. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you said that you are now having a meeting for next spring.
Yes.
That means that when we see these, because I just saw the release of the beautiful dragon, the mushroom, and we had the Highland cows in the last release. So those things are popular now. So not only are you a wizard with clay, but you guys are also wizards with knowing what's coming up trending. That is amazing. When we are looking at these things, you guys are so far ahead of the game that you're bringing these now where all of our customers are like, oh my goodness. I just wanted to point that out, that was really, really good. Good job.
That's why we go to the Atlanta Gift Show, because we get to see what they're coming. Because the Atlanta Gift Show was for all the buyers of all these gift shops, and they're not going to get their product until we go in January. They're ordering their Christmas product for the next Christmas. So they're thinking 8, 10, 12 months ahead as well. So that's one of the reasons why we go there. And the ceramic industry, when I first started, the ceramic industry was always a little bit behind the giftware industry. Mm. But I've noticed over the years that contemporary studios, they're on top of the gift industry all about the same time. So it's gotten a little bit harder for us to try and guess ahead. But when sometimes we miss. Hmm. We do have things that we come out with and it's like a couple of years later, it's discontinued. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, I will say, first thing, I'm in Atlanta and no one ever calls me when they come visit the gift market, and it's fine. I'll get over it. And the second thing is that I tell anyone I talk to in the industry to always be paying attention to what the bigger people are doing, because they have professionals. I mean, their job is to go out and trend seek. So if Guerra has a new item out, if Mako has a new item out, Biscuit Imports has a new item out, I would probably pay attention to that and figure out how you can incorporate that into your studio. And even like Target, I love walking the like kids' clothes aisles at Target, because they're paying attention to what color is trending. They're paying attention to like what kids actually want. They're setting the trends. So is there a way to bring that into your studio, you know, and have, you know, I guess benefit from someone else's really hard work, basically.
Yeah,
absolutely. So have you seen the gnomes? Are they ever going away? Did you see gnomes in this last one? Are we over those yet, or are they still here to play?
I hope they're not going away, but I think they are. They are starting to slow down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We are seeing a gradual slowdown in the gnomes.
It's funny, because
mushrooms are becoming popular.
In Atlanta, the gnomes never really caught on like that. Like, we're not the space for it. But outside, you know, in like smaller parts of Georgia, absolutely the gnomes. But I was never seeing that as much as everybody else was.
Yeah.
But it does feel like we're in the... Do you?
I do.
It feels like we're like in the dragon mushroom. Like, yes. We're in that zone now, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Harder things to paint. I mean, a dragon is intimidating to me.
Yeah, they take longer to sculpt, and they're more detail to paint. A lot of, and the studio customers, a lot of them are intimidated by things. Kids aren't. Kids will paint anything.
Sure.
And the kids will paint it, and they think it looks fantastic, which is great. And but yeah, dragons. I've been sculpting dragons for 38 years. They just sort of go in and out. And the mushroom thing makes us laugh, because when we, back in the 70s, I can find an old Gare mold catalog, and we had a whole line of mushroom mugs, canisters. Yep. It's just, nothing's new, it's just comes back.
Always. That's so true. Can you, now I'm going to be a little, not gossipy, but I just want to like, be a little fun and silly. Can you tell me your favorite and least favorite part of your job? You don't have to be super honest. Like, I don't want you to get in trouble, and I don't want to get in trouble, but I want to peek at that.
The least favorite part. In the wintertime, this is not just, it's just, your hands are constantly wet.
Yeah.
And they're constantly in the water, and that your skin cracks, and that just becomes, and your skin gets all dry. I don't like that. the least favorite part,
Nothing, I guess. You love nothing, your job.
Really. No, I my job's changed since COVID, because we used to have a mold maker who used to do the molding and casting. Now it's just me. And but it's nice because it gives me a little bit of a break. I'll spend a month sculpting 5 or 6 pieces, and then I'll spend 2 weeks molding and casting samples of those pieces. So it gives me a little bit of a break, which is good, because you can't, the creative mind, you can't just switch it on and off.
Right.
You have to, some days I'll come in and I'll struggle with a piece all day. I'll struggle. And I'll come in the next day and I'll go, that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
And it's, so this little break of making molds and casting pieces gives my mind a little bit of rest. Mold making and casting is very, it's a methodical thing. Mm-hmm. It's not, you don't have to be too creative. You don't have to think too hard. You just have to know the process. So I enjoy that. So there isn't really much I don't like about my job. That's why I've been here for 38 years.
Yeah.
The people I work with are very good. I enjoy working for them. I'm 15 minutes from my house.
Love that.
You know, so.
Okay, another silly question. What do you listen to while you work? Is it just you and your thoughts?
I have classical music going on in the background.
I
like all kinds of music except rap.
Surprise.
But classical music in the background, it's just there. It's sure. Not trying to get my attention. It's just, you know, the volume's on like 6.
Mm.
And it just lets me think clearly. Yeah. I'm not distracted. And it's a public radio station, so there's no commercials. Wow. So I don't get that, you know, that volume pop up when the commercials come on. No, it's just nice, steady. It's not elevator music.
That surprises me. I mean, I guess it does and does not surprise me.
I like dancing to music. I don't dance to classical music.
That's fair. I have to have like a little bit of murder when I'm working, just a tiny bit, and then maybe something comedy, but maybe I'll try the classic music today in honor of Robert.
Everybody's different.
Yeah, so I will ask, what is your favorite piece you've ever made?
Well, it used to be the light up skull.
Mm.
I really enjoyed doing that.
It's a great
one. I enjoyed doing that skull so much. They were doing construction down the road here, and they had this big pile of dirt. And I thought to myself, I got a couple of my bisque skulls, and I rubbed them in coffee grounds to make them look old, and just stuck them in the soil.
Yeah, why not?
That would create quite the
spectacle. I love that.
Yeah, you'd never be able to get into work because it would be shut down for a crime scene.
A lot of yellow tape there.
Recently, we're coming out with some candy dishes, and one of them is just, I keep looking at them like, that's really good.
Oh, I love
I
that.
I really like that one. Yeah. But you'll see
that's
them
cute.
Soon.
July, how many new pieces a year would you say Gear puts out?
Anywhere from 40 to 60.
Wow.
It depends.
That's a lot, yeah.
Because we have an Italian, we have our manufacturers can do dinner, they do all the dinnerware stuff too. And dinnerware is just, if I'm just giving them sketches, that's, I'm not making a model of a set of plates. That's, I can just do sketches, 10 inch, 8 inch, 6 inch plate. And I send those off. So that increases the volume of what we come out with if we do more of that. But you can only have so many plates.
Right. Right.
Now, do you have a least favorite piece that you've made that you're just like, man, I mean, like, you're just like, please let that be discontinued. I'm tired of looking at that. or maybe one that
has been discontinued.
Or, yeah, one that you don't love as much as the other children.
No, I tend to forget those things.
Okay, that's okay.
There are quite a few pieces I look at. I'm like, he could have done better there.
Yeah, I think that's the curse of the artist, is that you'll always see something wrong that other people will never, ever see.
Yeah, something that's, that's lopsided. How do you manage that one?
Nice. Wow. Well, anything new coming up for Gare that you can tease for us, that you're excited about, you know?
We've got some great Christmas items coming down the line. And we got some great more Halloween. Halloween's amazing. It's all of a sudden, the last couple of years, Halloween has become just about as big as Christmas now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you're so good at it. All the stuff you do is just so fun.
It is.
Nice Halloween. for Christmas.
I love Halloween. We actually just found out about this. People do halfway to Halloween. And that way then you can have more Halloween parties. And I think it is the most amazing thing ever. My spooky heart is so happy that we're doing one at the end of April. So I'm pretty, pretty excited about that.
This is like a Christmas in July, but it's called Halfway to Halloween.
Yep. And we're even encouraging people to dress up in costumes you know, you spend money on them. Why not wear them again? I'm so excited. Like, this is just for me. I just want to wear a costume. That's all it really is happening. But so look forward to this.
That's what I like about this industry. This industry is like, people are, they're game for anything.
Yeah.
You know, they're not stuck up. They'll participate in all kinds of silly stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
I have a little bit of trauma because I once showed up to a Halloween party the only person in costume. So I'm like, the thought of showing up to an April Halloween party, where costumes are encouraged, I'm like, could not be me. Would not be me. I was dressed as a slushy. I had my hair blue, bouffant. I had stuck a straw in it to look like I was one of those gas station slushies. So anyway, sorry, I just needed to get that out.
Amy, you're invited to come to Pennsylvania.
Couldn't do it.
You can only if you wear your slushy outfit, though.
Only if Robert comes.
Perfect.
Okay. All right. How can you have a Halloween party and nobody else dresses up except Amy? I mean,
sometimes people are just too cool for school, Robert.
Oh, that's silly. Life is too short.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. I want to walk down Buffalo, downtown Buffalo, in a chicken costume. I'm going to.
That's true. Or what were you at convention this year? Like a cow or a bull?
Yeah. The Highland cow.
There you go. Highland bestseller.
The best one was the unicorn, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You are too fun. Everybody should find Robert at conventions. Yeah. And he's always on the dance floor.
A little confused when Bree tackled me, but that was all right.
That's how she shows love.
All of a sudden, I'm knocked on the floor and I can't see anything. What's going
on? She does the same to me. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, wow. This has been, I've loved getting to know you a little bit more. Christine, do you have any questions for dear Robert?
Can you whisper to us things that are being made, that are being released, just so that we can, I'm just kidding. unless you can, then yeah, absolutely. But no, I don't want to get...
No, I'm not. I don't want Dave and Susan mad at me.
No, that's what. But also, I'm listening if you want.
Okay, how about you tell me what do you think is popular right now, like Christmas wise?
I don't know, because the Highland cows are really big. So like, I'm kind of thinking. I don't know. I have no idea. I got really nervous. Because
I know I can't suddenly can't think of a single Christmas thing.
No, all I can think of is a Highland cow with a Santa hat, and that's the only thing that like popped in my head, and I know that's probably not right. So I have no idea. I got nervous, axolotl with that hat or with a hat on.
Well, you got something there. Mm. Not the Highland cow part, but what you just said would be big.
What?
Gingerbread is still big.
Oh sure.
Yes,
oh
yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Say no more. I'm in.
Say no more.
That is awesome. I would love all of them. I just like that. So the hardest part, actually, I'm very lucky because I'm on the East Coast. So whenever the releases come out, I'm right there with them. And I feel bad for the West Coast distributor side.
Just period.
That they just, yeah, they just kind of stare in like in the window and we're all like, oh, look at all these awesome things. Like it's amazing. Like I love them so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think about our international customers. They're like, when are we getting that?
So they're not even in the looking in the window. They are.
Yeah. They're not even.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed to be in the industry because we do have such incredible suppliers and incredibly creative people who are making our life easier, which is great. Yeah. And Robert, you are a big part of that. So thank you so much.
I'm just amazed at the studios themselves. I mean, they went through COVID. They figured out COVID. And a lot of them survived and actually are doing much better now than they were before. And I'm just, that was, thank goodness they did that.
Yeah.
The studios were able to figure this out and manage it. And because, you know,
it's amazing.
I've been here for 38 years. It wasn't going to just fall off the edge of the cliff.
That's what I was just going to say. So I was 6 months old when we were just getting ready to celebrate our half birthday when I opened in March of 2020. And so it was like I just got to the point of being comfortable with the business full time and then being like, I'm sorry, what? What do we have to do? But but the industry, like our distributors and everybody, they were amazing with making sure we still got product, even though, like, even if you guys were scraping the bottom of the barrel being like, I have these plates. Do you need them? Like, you guys were amazing making sure that we could still hustle our way to survive. So, I mean, it's just a testimony of how amazing all of everybody is.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was great.
Well, on that note, I think we've had an incredible episode with Robert of Gare. If for any reason someone wanted to reach out, Robert, how would we find you? Do we just have to show up at Gare?
You can do that. My extension is 224.
Oh, 223. Oh, Lord. Who are we calling if we call 224?
That would be Tammy.
Okay. I like Tammy. I'll call Tammy.
That's funny.
It might not be anybody. or you can, my email at Gare is rsharp, sharpe, at gare.com.
Amazing. And now, lastly, can you say, what is it? Park the car on Harvard Yard.
Park the car in Harvard Yard.
Gorgeous.
That's the English way. Not park the car in Harvard Yard.
I mean, I think both sounds good to me.
I say tomato.
Oh.
And banana.
Oh. How do you say garage?
Garage.
Of course.
I say garage, but it's.
Is it water? Today. Isn't it's the water. Biggest one that everyone says?
It's got a T in it, water.
Oh, my God.
I'm a yinzer.
Why don't you speak English? And I say, I am English.
I'm the English. Yeah. I was born in a stable. That's why I don't speak English.
I was born in a stable in Ireland.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Robert. This was a delight.
Yes. It was interesting.
Thank you so much for your time.
We'll see you on the dance floor convention.
Maybe my first and last podcast. I don't know.
No. We'll have you on every week. You're the new co-host.
Perfect.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. As always, love y'all. You're the best.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Have a nice spring.
Glazed Over is brought to you by the CCSA, the Contemporary Ceramic Studios Association. Thank you to our moderators, Amy Williams and Christine Steele. Intro and outro music by Scott Lester. Executive production by Louise Blazuki. Learn more about the CCSA at ccsaonline.com.